Blog Talk Radio.
Show Talk with Angela Butler. Today's guest is Realtor Clyde Rivers from Atlanta, Georgia. Good afternoon, Mr. Clyde. How are you?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Good.
A little hot, but other than that, I'm okay.
Well, actually, it's starting to get hot up here in Atlanta, too. I guess that's why we call it Hot Atlanta.
Okay. I'm glad to have you on the show.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited as well.
Okay. What is the name of your real estate company?
The real estate company I currently work for is Sinclair & Associates. I'm one of the associate brokers there. I actually have my own company, too, which is Clyde Rivers Realty, but I'm affiliated with Sinclair & Associates at the present time. And
okay.
We specialize pretty much in foreclosed properties, HUD homes, bank-owned homes, and that sort of thing.
Okay, that is great. How long have you been a realtor?
Well, I've been a realtor for quite some time. I first got my license in 1986, and got my broker's license 3 years later in 1989. So I've been a realtor for quite a while. I guess that's what, a little over 25 years?
Yes, about 26 years, yeah.
Great.
Yeah. What is the real estate climate like now compared to 2009 or 2010?
You know what? It's gotten better from the standpoint of home prices are starting to go back up, especially for sellers. I guess you can say it's gotten better for them. For buyers, it's gotten a little tougher because now the home prices are starting to go up. And there's a lot of competition out there to purchase the properties that are available. We seem to have more buyers than we have homes to sell. I guess that's a good thing in a way, but it also can be a negative because I'm finding that a lot of my buyers are having a hard time purchasing the home that they want. They're having to bid and having to bid two and three different times. Matter of fact, I've had some go as much as five times trying to purchase a particular property and wasn't able to get it. And they can get a little frustrated, you know, when they're going through that process.
Yes, I can understand that. Are banks selling properties for lower amounts?
Are banks, you know, are selling property still at a good price, I feel, compared to, you know, what homes were selling for 5 or 6 years ago. However, banks are trying to get more for their properties than they were getting last year. For example, if a home was selling for $100,000 last year, it's probably the asking price is probably going to come out the gate at $110,000. And from there, it could easily sell for $120,000. So banks are getting more money, that's for sure. And so they can play hardball a little bit more.
Oh, okay. Is it better to buy a home already built or to build one in the current economy?
I still think you can get your best deal by buying an existing home. However, you know, If you cannot locate an existing home, you know, in the area you want for the price you want, then, you know, new homes, you know, would be a good option. But in most cases, you will pay more square footage-wise for a new home than you will for a used home. So if new homes are, if used homes are selling for, say, $150 at 2,500 square feet in a particular area of Atlanta, then new homes are probably going to be selling for over $200 with the same square footage. But, of course, you're getting brand new, so everything is going to be new, including the appliances, the flooring, you know. So new always costs you more.
Okay. What is can you explain to my listener what a home inspector is?
Oh, yeah. A home inspector is someone that will come in and inspect the home to make sure that, you know, certain things are working properly in the home. And home inspectors, you know, that field has really gotten really, really big over the last several years. I mean, and home inspectors, I mean, they check everything. I mean, they can come into a home and spend 3 or 4 hours there checking the dishwasher, crawling up in the attic, checking the roof. And it's highly recommended that you get an inspection of a home before you purchase it. Even on new homes, some people will have to get a home inspection. However, most builders don't like to deal with home inspectors because they figure if they're selling you a new home, then, you know, they're already offering you all the warranties and you shouldn't need a home inspection. But that's a purchaser's call.
Are fixed mortgages still one of the best mortgages to get?
Yeah, in most cases, because the interest rate now is under 5%. I was just looking at the interest rate chart today, and a fixed rate is about 4.25. A 15-year rate is about 3.5. So, you know, it's going to be hard to beat that. Adjustable rate loan, you know, you can get other type of financing with a lower rate, but you run the risk of down the road, you know, going up, the rate going up on that. But, you know, there are some adjustables out there that are interesting in the fact that if you know that you're only going to be in that home for, say, 5 years and you can get an interest rate for 2.5% and it's going to be fixed that way for 5 years before it would make any kind of adjustment, then that might be something you want to look into and save you a lot of money as long as you plan to sell the home after 5 years, you know, and you're pretty certain that you're not going to have to go in there and get a fixed rate at that period of time.
Now, I've been reading online about the different things that President Barack Obama has did, such as I want you to confirm if this is true or not, and I've seen it on TV. If a home is worth, let's say, $200,000, and the value of it is down, let's say, $150,000 to $175,000. It's something about you can get a lower interest mortgage. Is that true?
I mean, I've heard about you saying that the home was, did you say $200,000 or $200,000?
The current real estate market. Market.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and again, I'm not an expert in that area of financing as far as that goes, but I have heard about it and seen information on where you can, you know, if your home value is down, let's say you owe $200,000 on it, you have a $200,000 mortgage, but the value of your home is only $175,000, then you should be able to go in and get your lender to refinance your loan based on the current market value, okay? But you can believe me that the lenders are going to give you a hard time doing that. They're going to want you to prove that. But there is some stipulation out there that could get that done. But I would want to get a little bit more details on exactly how all that would work. But it can be done, I believe.
Yes. What if someone's home is paid for? What are the alternatives for them?
You know what? If you got a home paid for, you're in good shape. First of all, because now you can you can hold out for your price, of course, and that way you can probably get more for the home than someone who just got a sale or owe a good bit on the home. The other thing you can do, and some people go this route, is they go ahead and do what they call owner finance if they own a home outright. And let's say they don't need all the money. Let's say they have a home that's worth $150,000, and they don't owe anything on the house. But they don't necessarily need the $150,000. Well, you know, after commission and other costs, of course, they might not walk away with $150,000. Let's say they will walk away with $140,000 or so. And they would rather maybe owner finance the property so that they can get a steady flow of income coming in. They might opt to find someone who has maybe $25,000 to put down, 20%, 30% down, and they will become the bank. They'll own or finance the house for the remainder balance of $130,000 and receive that money on a monthly income and charge an interest rate. Typically, the interest rate will probably be higher than what a person would be able to get with a regular bank, because keep in mind they're doing owner financing. They're not going to run them through the same criteria that a bank will. And so they probably might charge 6%, 7%. And that's probably a higher return than they can get on the money sitting in a, you know, CD somewhere.
Are there any downfalls to owner financing?
Well, the only downfall is the same risk that the bank takes. You can hear me okay, right?
Yes.
The same risk that the bank takes. That you may get somebody in there who can no longer afford to pay the mortgage, you know, and then you have to foreclose on them. And usually if you have to foreclose on someone, you have to follow the law of each state. And it might require that you advertise the property, require that you get a lawsuit in order to get them out of the property. But that's the only negative. But usually, though, if someone give you a nice lump sum down, then they're more likely to pay their mortgage, you know?
Okay, yeah. I understand it, because they don't want to lose the money that they've already invested into the house.
Exactly. So, I mean, you got to be careful. If you're going to do owner financing, I would say take a minimum of 20% down. I wouldn't have a $150,000 house out there and someone come give me $5,000 and I finance the other $145,000. You know, they only got $5,000 to lose. They may walk away.
Yeah.
You know, from the whole transaction a lot quicker.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What type of credit score would put someone in a home in August of 2013?
You know, there are a lot of lenders out there saying that they can get someone a FHA loan with a credit score as low as 600. However, it seems like the standard is 620. The ones that can do 600, that's going to require that the person follow some stricter guidelines. For example, if they are able to go with the 600 credit score, that person must be renting from someone, renting an apartment or something like that, where they can verify that they've paid that rent on time for the last 12 months. They can't be staying with their parents or staying with a relative, and any of that type of thing, and where they can't prove that they were paying the rent. And also, I think they're going to look at whether the collections and other things that are on their credit, they're going to look at that a lot closer. Those items may have to be paid off completely. While on the other hand, if they got 620, they don't necessarily have to show that they've been renting for the last 12 months and paying rent on time. They could have been living with a relative, saving their money, you know, just now coming out of college, just got a job, you know, that sort of thing. So there are some that say they're doing it with a credit score of 600, but it do require a lot more information, and it's a lot stricter. Okay?
Okay. How's the climate when it comes to buying and selling? Is this a buyer or seller's market, in your opinion?
Well, you know, I thought about that question. I figured you would ask me that question.
Okay.
You know, in a way, it's a little of both. It's It's a seller's market if you bought your home a while back, let's say 10 or 15 years ago. Then, you know, you should now, you can put it on the market and sell it relatively quick. You won't have to sit out there a long time, and you should be able to get your price for it. However, if you, you know, if you bought a home in the last 5 or 6 years, then it's still not a seller's market. You know, you still probably don't have enough equity to justify selling right now. A buyer, but in my opinion, it's still a buyer's market because buyers can still get a better deal than folks who bought homes 5 or 6 years ago, you know. So, and it looks more like to me it's heading upward, not downward. So if I was a buyer and I was thinking about buying in the next year or two, I would be trying to buy now, not 2 or 3 years from now. Okay?
All right. Okay. Well, we've got a caller. Got some callers on the line. I'm going to go to the first caller, and if he doesn't answer, I'm going to go to the next. He or she doesn't answer, I'm going to go to the next caller. Okay.
Sounds good.
Hold on. Hello, caller. Do you have any questions from Mr. Rivers? Hello, caller. Guess not. Hold on.
Yeah, I can't hear the caller, so.
I don't think he has anything to say.
Okay. Oh, okay. Maybe he was just.
Hold on.
Okay, no problem.
What's the next one? Hello, caller. Do you have anything to say for any questions for Mr. Rivers? Okay, I guess not. Hello, caller. Do you have any questions for Mr. Rivers? Hello. Okay, they just called in to listen. Okay.
Okay, a lot of people calling in to listen, and that's fine. I mean, are they able to also to send you messages on Facebook or text?
Yes, they are.
Questions would be fine.
Mm-hmm. You can give out your Facebook page.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's Clyde Rivers, but the best way to reach me would be on my email, which is riversclyde@gmail.com. Just turn my name backwards, and it's riversclyde, R-I-V-E-R-S, Clyde, C-L-Y-D-E, at Gmail. And also they can visit my company website, which is HUD Homes Atlanta and Foreclosures Around Atlanta. So either one of those sites would get me. And also my phone number, of course, is 678-898-5596. Again, that's 678-898-5596. We'd love to answer anyone's questions that they might have about purchasing a home or just about thinking about selling a home.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a break. Well, we're going to pay some bills here and advertise for some people. And I'm
okay,
doing this one back.
Hopefully, we get a few folks calling in, okay? I'm right here.
Well, they're there. You have about 10 of them, but they're not saying anything. All right. Let's go to commercial.
Okay.
A special event can be very challenging and stressful at times. Our staff of professionals organizes your event down to every last detail, no matter what size. Our creativity and attention to detail turn your ordinary party into an extraordinary event. And Decline provides world-class service. We coordinate quality events. We can provide travel arrangements, accommodations, event sites, caterers, florists, photographers, transportation, hairstylists and makeup artists, daily itineraries, and pre-event information such as detailed maps, save-the-date cards, and invitations. Being a custom event planner means that we cater to you. It is our job to find the best possible way to present your event. We have been referred to as Dreamweavers.
When you're searching for the latest news on entertainment, the economy, business, technology, and creative arts, choose
the Digital Conglomerate Magazine.
Not only do they give you all the latest information, but they're there for you 24/7, baby, giving you the 411 and all you need to know, baby. Visit the Digital Conglomerate Magazine online. Just Google us, baby. We're everywhere.
right, listeners, you're listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. We have Show Talk with Angela Butler, Mr. Clyde Rivers. He is a realtor from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm going to go to the calls again, and if anybody has any questions they want to ask, they can simply ask Mr. Rivers. You don't have to give out your name or anything like that. You simply ask your question, he will answer to the best of his ability. Hello. Caller. Do you have any questions for Mr. Rivers?
Yes, I have a question.
Okay.
Okay, how you doing, Mr. Rivers?
Yeah, how you doing, sir?
Doing pretty good. Yeah, my name is Walter. I'm in Atlanta, too. And I had a question because I know Ms. Butler was saying that you were going to talk about the real estate market today. And so,
right.
Like right now, with the interest rates being what they are, would you say that this is the best time for people that are looking to buy a new home to purchase around this time?
I think so. I mean, I think anytime you can get a rate under 5%, you can't go wrong. And also, real estate prices are headed upward, not downward. So if you've been thinking about buying, this is certainly a good time before interest rate, wind up, going back up to 6 or 7%. So over the long haul, you will come out better if you buy now, especially at the 4.4 and a quarter, even less maybe, because, that's how monthly payments are based on interest rate, what rate you receive. So, yeah, I think it's an excellent time to purchase.
Okay.
Go
ahead. You have another question?
Yeah, I have one more question. And so as far as the foreclosures in the Atlanta market, do you have any foreclosures that because I know some people go out and they find foreclosures that need work on them. And then they rehab them and they fix them up and sell them. So I was wondering, what is the price range? Do you have any foreclosures? And then
I mean there are definitely foreclosures out there like that.
He specializes in this, Mr. Rivers.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
So you do have some that private. So you will have some that because I know some foreclosures need more work than others, but do you have some that in a good price range that may not need much work on
them? Yeah, I mean, because a lot of foreclosures just need cosmetic work. So sometimes you could buy a property and all you got to do actually is go in there and paint, put in new carpet, maybe upgrade the appliances, and the home becomes livable. So, there are deals out there like that. I mean, there are a lot of investors are buying in Metro Atlanta now because they can buy properties and fix them up and turn them over. Actually, I've noticed that the properties that are being rehabbed are selling quite quick. Some of them are only on the market a few days before they're gone. So I think it's a great opportunity for that. You just have to, make sure you're getting a good enough deal to justify putting it back on the market, though.
Okay. So would you say that most of them in the maybe 50, I mean, because I know there's people out there that go out and they look for the dirt cheap ones and then they fix them up. But as far as a person that's looking to buy, for a residence, for themselves or for them and their family, then, what would you say that most of them, with your experience, would you say that most of those properties that are foreclosures that don't need much work are probably over 50,000?
I think he's also
asking about first-time home buyers too.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I mean, the majority of the properties that something that you would probably want to move into with your family and not have to do a whole bunch of work would probably be over 50. I would say the average now is $67 to $80. Now, there are some properties, of course, you can probably buy cheaper than that, but they're going to be in a urban area of Atlanta, you know, in the city somewhere. Maybe, you know, and probably will need a lot more work, and then there's a possibility of the neighborhood, you know, having some problems, you know?
Okay, I see what you're saying, right.
Right. So, I mean, but if you're trying to buy a home and you're looking at, you know, schools and you don't mind the suburbs somewhere, yeah, you could probably find a pretty good deal anywhere from 70 to 80 to 90 up to 100,000.
Okay. If you had something like a 70,000 range with, you know, decent, someone with decent credit. I mean, they may not have A1 credit, but they might have a decent credit.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to have A1 credit to buy a house anyway. I mean, 620 credit score is not considered A1 credit. That's considered fair credit. So A1 credit is when you're over 700, 750, and that sort of thing. So, as long as you got a 620 credit score in them and you got a good employment, you know, got income coming in, you can be self-employed. But if you're self-employed, then they're going to look at your tax returns. That's what they're going to determine how you qualify. And I mean, even when you're regular, you know, buying as a and have a job, they still look at your tax returns. But the tax returns become very important when you're self-employed.
So let's say you got a home that's like $70,000, and somebody gets that finance. How would you calculate what the mortgage payment, the monthly mortgage payment, would be on that?
Well, I mean, again, I'm not, you know, the person that would be financing the property. I would just be a realtor. But an educated guess, if a house is $70,000, you're probably looking at payments under $700, you know, about $650, $640. You know, taxes and insurance is usually included with your payment. So a lot of it has to do with how much taxes is being charged on that particular property.
Okay.
So taxes and insurance is included on a home, okay, in the payment. Okay.
Yeah, usually if you go on the FHA and you're putting less than 20% down, you know, the lenders require that. If you got conventional, you're going with a conventional loan, you're putting over 20% down, there are some lenders that will let you pay your taxes outside of your mortgage, you know, your insurance. But FHA loans all require that the taxes and insurance be included.
Go ahead. Okay, so I was just saying, would you factor in, is homeowner's insurance factored into that monthly payment every month?
Yes. What I just mentioned, if it's a $70,000 property, because the interest rate is under 5%, your taxes and insurance should keep your payment, you know, under $700. You know,
okay.
As long as the taxes aren't outrageous. Sometimes the taxes can be high on some property than they should be, and that's because if a bank or institution owned the property, then they don't qualify for homestead exemption, and so the county usually charges them more for the taxes, and most lenders want to go by the past year taxes, whatever the taxes were the previous year. However, if that happens to you, you can always, once you get the property, go ahead, you file homestead, and sometimes you can also, you know, file a claim that the value is not what they're alleging that it is, because the county is in the business of trying to collect as much taxes as they can. So they want the value to be higher than what they are sometime on these properties.
Oh, okay. All
right. Yeah. So can you talk about FHA homes?
HUD properties?
Let people know what an FHA home is.
I can certainly talk about that, because that's something I do quite a bit of. HUD properties, you know, these are properties that are pretty much owned by the federal government. These are properties that at one time an individual had a FHA loan on the property but was unable to pay the mortgage for some reason or another. So therefore, the bank had to foreclose on the property. Once the bank foreclosed on the property, because it was insured by FHA, which is the government paid the bank off using the government, the FHA insurance, and in turn they acquired the property. and then they resell the property to try to get back the money that they've had to spend, you know, with the bank. So pretty much that's how FHA works. But the good part about buying a HUD property, if we can find one, is that HUD also waivers the down payment. So the down payment on a HUD home is not your normal 3.5, I think it's roughly what the down payment on a regular FHA loan. But on a HUD-owned property, if HUD owns the property, they can offer the property for as low as what they call a $100 down payment. So you only need to come up with $100. But, you know, there are some things that are included with that. I mean, for example, earnest money deposit on most HUD homes are $1,000. If the property is over 50, it's $1,000. If it's under 50, it's just $500. But you will wind up getting into a HUD home with less money than you would a regular house at the same price.
Now, okay? Florida has grants, such as things like the SHIP grant. Does Georgia have grants?
Well, Georgia have programs like down payment assistance, Georgia Dream, where the first-time home buyers can get money to help them with the down payment. I guess that's kind of the same, you know, would be considered the same thing as a grant. I mean, they may be calling it something different in Florida, but here we have what we call the Georgia Dream, and a person can get up to $7,000 toward the down payment and closing cost, as long as their income don't exceed a certain amount, and, you know, if they have a, you know, certain based on family size and income. But, yeah, it's a great program. I mean, it really can help you out a lot. You know, with
here
the down payment.
In Florida, it's called the SHIP grant, and it's the only grant that I know about. And you can get $15,000 to $20,000 as long as you make under like $75,000 or $80,000, something like that. $15,000 to $20,000, but it reduces all the way down to like $5,000 based on income.
Okay. Well, you know, Florida was, my understanding, was hit a little harder than Georgia, so they may have come up with some programs to, you know, like that to really help out. And there are some programs here in Atlanta, like if you're buying in the city, you know, in certain areas that, you know, that have been really hard-pressed and they're trying to get people to buy a home, that I know the city of Atlanta will offer grants, what you're talking about. So that I have heard as much as
$50,000. I never heard of that.
Yeah, I haven't personally done any of those, but I have heard that you can get up to $50,000, but that would be pretty much, you know, in a depressed area of Atlanta. Okay.
Depressed area. Okay.
Yeah, you know, area that they're trying to bring back.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Are there a lot of available properties for sale in Atlanta?
Not as much as they were last year this time, but we still got quite a few homes for sale, yeah, but not near as much as we had last year. So that's why, it's a good opportunity for sellers to sell, but it still is not a bad opportunity for a buyer to buy, because we still, you know, have a lot of homes, and a lot of it depends on where you're looking at, to what area you're looking in. You know, in Atlanta, you know, the city of Atlanta and around those areas, there's still a lot of cheap homes. There's still a lot of opportunity if you want to live in the city close in to buy something at a really, really cheap price. You're just going to have to probably wait a little longer for those areas to turn around and for the value to come back. But if you work in the city and you've been living in the city all along, then it, you know, could end up being a good deal for you.
Is it easier to get a loan now than in 2009 or 2010?
Good question. Is it easier?
I know you're a realtor, not a mortgage broker, but our bank.
Well, yeah, right, but I still
deal with
that all the time. You know what? Is it easier? I would say no, not really. I think it's still the same criteria that went into effect since the foreclosure market, you know, became such a big thing with all these foreclosures. The banks tightened up on their on their guidelines, and they're still holding pretty steady to their guidelines. So I wouldn't say it's easier, but I would say that, you know, it's getting better. You know, the main thing with buyers is that they have to realize that when they're trying to purchase a home, the first thing they want to do is find out what kind of credit score they're working with. And then why, if the credit score is not where it needs to be, why it's not there, and try to see what they can do to fix that. A lot of times it's a matter of getting the credit reports and taking a look at items that are on there and then disputing it, because a lot of that stuff on there shouldn't be there in the first place. But most buyers don't want to do that.
Oh, okay.
That's what they need to do. You know, they need to look at their credit. They need, before they even start looking, if they can, they, you know, try to get a copy of the credit report and see what the credit score is, and see what the credit is looking like.
And if something's on that is not right, dispute if it's over 7 or 8, I think it's 7 years, right?
Yeah, for 7 years, it shouldn't even be there. And if they dispute it and whoever's put it there don't reply back to the credit bureau and in a certain amount of time, the credit bureau is under obligation to take it off. I mean, I think you may have heard on the news about the lady out there in Washington State recently won a big-time lawsuit against Equifax here. I mean, it was like $2 million they awarded her because there were some things on her credit, and she kept telling them it shouldn't be there, it needs to be removed, and they wouldn't take care of it. She ended up getting a lawyer suing them and actually winning that lawsuit. So, I mean, And they'll show you how to do it, really. I mean, a lot of people think they got to go get a credit repair person. I'm not trying to knock credit repair person because I'm sure that they can help folks. But, I mean, a lot of that stuff you can do on your own. I mean, if you can't afford to pay a credit repair person, then get a copy of your credit report and take a look at it. Get with the credit bureau. Ask them, what do you need to do to dispute this? And they're on the obligation to tell you what you can do.
Okay. What is the best, borrowing money from a bank, owner financing, or rent to own? And is there a difference between owner financing and rent to own?
Yeah, there's definitely a difference between, I answered the last question you just answered. There's definitely a difference between rent to own and owner financing. Rent to own means exactly what it says. You're renting, and you will own later. So, if you're doing a lease purchase, you may give someone a deposit, say on a property that you're trying to get from them for $150,000. You might give them a deposit of $5,000, and now you'll make a monthly payment of $1,000, in which a couple hundred dollars of that will go toward the purchase price down the road. And that lease purchase might be that you're going to purchase that home 2 years later when your situation is better, your job or your credit. And so you're renting during that time. You're not able to deduct any mortgages. You don't really own the property. They still own the property. While on the other hand, if you do owner financing, you do own the property. You do have control of the property. If you put a down payment down and they own a finance, and you have the right to sell the property as long as you pay that mortgage off that you set up on the owner finance. So you have more control, and you really own the property when you're doing owner financing. If you're lease purchasing, you technically do not own it. You're just renting it. But, you know, it is a way that some people can get into a home who otherwise would not be able to get into a home because, you know, let's face it, some folks do not want to live in an apartment. They want to be in a house, and that's a good way to get them into a house. But in most cases, you know, they do wind up, in my opinion, paying more for the house than they would if they could have purchased it now instead of later. Okay.
So in your opinion, it really depends on the person, but it's your opinion. In your opinion, is owner financing better than rent to own? In your own professional opinion. Okay.
Yeah, except for the fact that owner financing usually will cost you more money out of your pocket up front. But if you can get someone to do owner financing, you know, for $5,000 or $10,000, then hey, that would be great. And you know, again, they're older people. They are folks that sometimes own their homes outright, investors that own them outright, who would rather own a finance so they can get a monthly stream of income coming in. So if you can find that kind of situation, then it can be good for you, especially if you. I find that it works really good for people that are self-employed, maybe just started their own business. They're making money, but they haven't been making money long enough to qualify with the bank. Because, see, the bank wants you, if you're self-employed, you need to be self-employed for at least 2 to 3 years before you can use a qualifier for a loan, because they're going to want to see your last 2 years.
So if you're self-employed, you have to be self-employed for at least 2 or 3 years. So you need really good tax records.
Right, right, because, I mean, in order to purchase, if you're self-employed, it's quickly going to look at what is your net income after expense, what are you really showing? And, you know, most self-employed people, when they first start a business, they're trying to write off everything they possibly can write off, so they ain't trying to show a whole lot of income to pay, in order to not to pay a lot of taxes, you know, federal taxes.
Okay.
So, but they also are good candidates for owner financing or lease purchases, because hey, they're making the money. They just can only show but so much, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, then. Caller, do you have any other questions?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I just said I was going to make sure that I had your contact information. I have 678-898-5596.
That's correct.
Okay. So, I'm in Atlanta, too, so I'll reach out to you. What's the best time to get in touch with you?
Anytime from 9 to 8. You know, that's anytime, okay? All right?
Okay. All right. I appreciate it.
All right. We'll look forward to hearing from you.
All right.
Do we have any more callers?
No, they've all pretty well dropped off. I think we answered all the questions.
Okay,
that's what
good,
it is.
Good.
I'm close to about 15 till all the questions are pretty well answered on my show, because that's how I have it set up.
yeah,
is Atlanta, Georgia growing? I heard you were getting 2 new lanes. Is that true? On your highway?
What?
That you were getting 2 new lanes in Atlanta, Georgia, that they were adding 2 more lanes to the... Is that true?
To 285, maybe. You know what? They're always they're always adding roads and doing things here. But we need 2 more lanes on 285. But no, I don't know about 285 adding 2 more lanes. I think there are some other highways like 75 and some of the other interstates that run through Atlanta where they're trying to do some expanding. But what we really need here is expansion of mass transit more than anything else. I know, you know, highways aren't going to do it, you know?
You need more mass transit. Okay, well, that's one thing.
Yeah, we need the train. We need the train running north, east, west, south, you know, all over the place, just like they have in
the MARTA.
New York and Chicago and other cities, you know?
Yeah, I understand it, mass transit. Yeah, I understand it, because we don't even have that here in this small town that I'm in Florida. We don't have that. We have, like, government transportation, and if you have Medicaid or Medicare, if you have, you know, like $20 to spend to go here and there, but, you know, it's not.
Right.
It's not anything.
But y'all don't need
it's barely
though,
a taxi
in a way
here.
Y'all don't need it. Yeah, what town are you in again down there in Florida?
I'm near, I don't want to say exactly where I'm at, but I'm near Tallahassee, Florida, Panama City Beach, near there.
Oh, okay,
near,
I think we spoke about that,
I'm near Dothan, Alabama.
Yeah, all around in the area. That's a good area. Nice country
it's
down
okay.
there.
It's okay. It's got its problems, though. It's got some problems.
But I'm sure you've been to Atlanta quite a few times.
Oh, yes. I've been to Atlanta. I love Atlanta. I like it a lot.
Okay.
I like Sandy Springs a lot.
Oh, yeah. That's off of Roswell Road. That is kind of right outside of Buckhead. It's a popular area.
I love to go and sightsee and go to the malls and things. I like to go to Buckhead and visit my stepdad's relatives and things like that.
Go to Lenox Mall and all that good stuff, huh?
Yeah.
Perimeter Mall.
I don't go to the underground, but I do.
Why not?
Fact,
underground used to be a lot of fun, so you don't go there anymore.
I don't go.
Huh?
I've never went to the underground. All the years that I've been coming to Atlanta, and I haven't been now in about eight or nine months.
You should check it out at least one time. It's interesting that it got a whole nother town underground.
Yeah, I've never been, but I've been to Buckhead, I've been to Sandy Springs, I've been to Marietta, I've been to Conyers, I've been different places.
Yes, I like you've been around. Have you been out in Norcross, Gwinnett area? That's the area that I live in.
Norcross, I think so. I believe so. Yes, I sightsee. I like to look. I spend 2 or 3 days, 4 days there and look when I have the money to. Yeah, Atlanta seems nice. I love to see the houses. Those beautiful, sprawling, two-story mansions are beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. They have them here. We have some big ones and we have some small ones, but we have some really big ones out
you
in
do.
Certain parts of town.
Yeah, you don't see that a whole lot in the area that I'm at. You don't see people of color living in those type of houses. Like, I don't know if it's because the building codes are different or what, but most of the houses are one-story. Even the bigger houses are one-story. But we have some people here with 2 and 3-story houses, but it's like 5 of them, the whole county. So,
Well, I understand in Florida, because of the way Florida is, you won't find a lot of basements, and so that's why you probably don't see the big 2 stories. They don't dig into the ground, but so deep. So
somebody told me because of building codes, it had nothing to do with anything racist. It was just the building codes.
Yeah.
But my dream house.
But Florida's still a great retirement area, though, isn't it? Y'all still have a lot of people retiring and moving there.
I'm not going to bash Florida, but Florida has its problems with the prison system and the criminal justice system with blacks.
Well, Georgia does, too, then. Georgia does, too. So, I mean, I think that's throughout the South and probably throughout the country, unfortunately.
But
I'm glad you could have me on the show, and look forward
and
to doing
it. And I was going
to
say that my dream house is a 2-story house, and I hope to live there one day before I'm 50 years old. Hopefully sooner than that, God willing. I've been praying since that.
I'm sure it will happen.
Well, thank you for coming on the show. I've enjoyed having you, and I hope some callers call you, and I wish you the best. Mr. Rivers.
Yeah, and I'll be in touch with you with what we talked about earlier. The blogging thing and all that. But I really, enjoyed it myself. This is actually was my first radio show, so I thought it was kind of interesting.
And I hope you get some calls.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay, you have a
blessed
evening.
God bless you.
All right.
You too.
Bye bye.
All right, listeners, you've been listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. We had on the phone Realtor Clyde Rivers. He gave his the caller gave his phone number. I guess he had went to the website and looked it up. But that's I guess that's okay too. I thank you all for calling in. All 30 of you. So even though I didn't go to the phones that much, I hope you give Mr. Rivers a call and look him up on the website. He said you can find him on Facebook. I believe he said his email was riversclyde@gmail.com. If I didn't get it right, go back and listen to the show because it gives me more listeners, of course. And I thank you for listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. And everyone, have a good night.
Good night.